Although I am a member of the Church of Satan, I do not speak for the Church of Satan.
What the world needs is a good whipping.
God is dead! Satan lives!
I can assure you, Satanism is here to stay.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to The Demented One. I am your host, Blake, and I am so glad you guys decided to stop by and listen to this episode with our special guest this evening. This show was a lot of fun. It was Danny from the YouTube show Danny After Dark, and it was a lot of fun talking to her about true crime, Charles Manson, how she got into doing her show, and just so much. It was a lot of fun. I do want to say, so you guys don't think I'm a total asshole, we had some little technical difficulties in the show, but you can't tell at all on you guys' end. But when we were recording, it was breaking in and out. So there's like one time where she's talking and I kind of cut her off. So I don't want you guys thinking I was being an asshole and just cutting her off on purpose. It was really because I couldn't really hear her at that time, and I thought she was done talking. So, but again, you can't even tell listening to the show that there was any problems, except maybe that one little spot where I accidentally kind of cut her off. So just wanted to let you know, I'm not really that asshole like a lot of people thinks I am. So anyway, before we get into the show, I want to let you guys know that if you have not already, go ahead and subscribe to The Demented One on YouTube. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and you can find us on all of the major podcast platforms. Just type in The Demented One and we will pop up. Make sure also with the podcast, whether you're on Apple, Spotify, to leave us a review. That always helps the show, and I will definitely appreciate that. Let's see, what else has been going on? Nothing really. This week has just kind of been a slow week, man. Just working and nothing. I've been sick, I guess. I got sick the beginning of this week, which really sucked. I had kind of like the stomach flu, so that was no fun, and that made the week go by even slower. But anyway, I'm better, and yeah, we're good. So anyways, I'm gonna quit talking so you guys can listen to this interview, and I think you guys are really gonna enjoy it. So here it is, the interview with Danny from Danny After Dark.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Blake, and welcome to The Demented One.
Danny, welcome.
Hi, Blake. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Finally, that we've got this thing started.
Yes.
technology. So, of course, we're going to get into the true crime and Charles Manson and all kind of stuff like that. But if you don't mind first, telling us a little bit about who you are and kind of where you come from.
Yes. So I am Danny, and I come from Massachusetts. I live just outside of Boston, so the city, and I grew up right next to Salem. So I am very used to just hanging out there growing up. I know I take that area for granted, Salem, Massachusetts. Because I'm just there so often, but growing up next to it was really, really cool. And I'm still very active in Salem. I'm outside of YouTube and work. I do feline rescue there at a small feline rescue organization. And then other than that, I just do dance as a hobby. So kind of busy juggling a lot of different things.
Right, definitely. So Salem, man, I've always wanted to go to Salem. I've never had a chance yet, but me and the family have talked about it a lot, but maybe one day.
You would love it. You would absolutely love it.
Sure. So feline rescue, have you always kind of had a love for cats and stuff, or
yeah,
how did you get into that?
Yeah, I grew up with dogs, so I was very much into animal rescue growing up. And then as an adult, I adopted 2 kittens and I started volunteering at that organization shortly after. And I've been there since 2014, and it just kind of, I just realized they needed volunteers. I wanted to do my part in the world, and I absolutely love it. And I now have 6 cats, so that I've all rescued from there. So yeah, a bit of a cat lady now, but I just try to do my part in animal rescue.
Right. And I'm sure you see a lot of sad situations too, when you're in that type.
Yeah, you see the worst in humanity, but you also see the best in the rescue part of it. So
right, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think you and my wife would definitely get along, especially for cats, because she is a big lover of cats. Oh. And we have one named Zane, and he hates me, by the way, but he loves her.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't even, if I come close to him, he just hisses at me. And but now when he wants to, you know, lay around or get petted or something, oh, he loves me. But any other time, I'm an asshole to him, I guess. I don't know.
That's hilarious and not surprising. That's a cat.
Yep. So you mentioned dance. How did you get into dance? Is that something like at a young age you started, or?
Yes, I have danced since I was 4. So I'm 38 now. So you do the math. And yeah, that's all I've ever done. I never did any sports growing up. I just always did dance. When I became an adult and graduated high school, I went on to college and there was a dance team there. So I was one of the dancers, one of the choreographers, and one of the board members. And then graduating, there's not a lot of opportunity for adult dance, but luckily I found a company that I joined, and I've been there since 2014. And yeah, I absolutely love it. You have to be 18 to join, and it's just, we're all working adults, a lot of the grad students, and we get to still dance. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Very cool. So getting into, I guess, true crime, psychology and stuff, what age did you start getting interested in true crime?
I've always been interested in true crime. I mean, growing up right next to Salem and learning about the witch trials from such a young age, I always took a liking to it. And what really fascinated me about that was the dark side of humanity and how these things could happen. And I really also find the mind very fascinating. So I would think, how does society view and allow these things, and how, like, the mind of somebody essentially murdering somebody else, that always has fascinated me. So from such a young age, I think most normal kids watch cartoons growing up. I would ask for documentaries and books that were very advanced in just reading about true crime. And I just really was drawn to it always.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of the same for me. And I'm sure you've heard, when others that really don't, I guess, are not into true crime and stuff like that, they look at people kind of like me or you that are into it, and they think that we sit around and glorify like the serial killer. Right. But that's not it at all, right?
No, I get accused of that on YouTube all the time, and that's the furthest thing.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing. They think, I guess, in their head that we're obsessed with the killer and some crazy thing in our mind, we're wanting to go out and do the same thing. I don't know really what they think. But I get messages like that all the time, especially when I have someone on the show, like an author of true crime books or something like that. Mm-hmm. And, I have other shows, of course, that deals with Satanism and religion and stuff. And I get some hate on those, but it's not close to like when I do with the true crime stuff. It's crazy.
I 100% agree with you on that. If you hear a little purring, by the way, it's my cat Loki that is sitting near me. So I just wanted to let you know.
You said Loki?
Loki, yes. And Loki. he very much lives up to his name.
Nice. So, Danny, how did you get involved with Paulcast on the YouTube show?
Yeah. So when COVID happened and the world basically locked down, I found a Manton YouTube channel called, it was Stoner Van Houten's Spawn Ranch Worker. And I was watching that, and he did a lot of live shows. And Paul from the Paulcast was in the chat along with someone, Mr. Beckham. And the three of us started, you know, talking in the chat and then started messaging privately. And we all kind of realized that we had a very similar interest in the Manson case and the Charles Manson case. And we all ordered the book from Neil Sanders, Now Is the Only Thing That's Real, at the same time. And when we got it, we decided to read it together, almost like an online book club during the pandemic. And we would meet every week and discuss the chapter that we did. And that's how we kind of got to know each other and each talk about our specific interests in the case, because we all come from different backgrounds, me psychology, Mr. Beckham criminal justice, and Paul's just a landscaper, so there's that. But and along the ways, Paul was like, let's do a show. Cool. So we did.
Nice. And then so after that, that's when Danny After Dark came along, right? It was not before Paulcast.
Correct. It was several months later, and I was toying with the idea because I was actually nervous to do my own channel. And the guys were really instrumental in pushing me to be like, no, you can do this. And I look back, I'm like, why was I so nervous? But yeah, so Danny After Dark came about 6 months after, approximately.
Okay, cool. So with your own show, Danny After Dark, how do you come up, I guess, with the topics? I mean, I know some I've seen that you get from the audience. They'll request for you to do a show. But what's some other ways how you come up with, I guess, the topic and the case you decide to talk about?
Yeah, so what I wanted to do when I created this channel was just talk about the cases that I'm interested in. And that's how I just kind of started going with that. I wanted to do a mix of very well-known cases and then some that are not so known. And then, like you said, sometimes viewers will suggest cases for me to cover. And that's awesome because some I know and some I've never heard of. My only guidelines that I have, and it's just strictly because of my own OCD, is I like to do solved cases so that I can have a start, middle, and an end to the case. I also don't really like to discuss any school or mass shootings on my channel. And in regards to cults, I don't really talk about that too much either. And then Manson, I don't talk about on my channel. I do that over only on the podcast. So other than that, any solved case, I'm open to covering and researching.
All right. Very cool. Yeah. And I dig it. I love your show, the way you kind of start from the beginning to the end and how you go and get in pretty much a lot of detail with the case and stuff. It's very cool.
Thanks.
So out of all the serial killers, Danny, that you have studied and did shows on, who is the most interesting one to you if you had to pick one?
Oh, that's easy. Ted Bundy. And I have not yet covered him on my channel. I wanted to wait for a while when I first started YouTube, but my channel, just to kind of get like the kinks out of the way and, you know, just the bumps along the road. But I've always been into the Ted Bundy case, fascinated by it.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I know you did a show on Pee Wee Gaskins as well.
Yes. That was a case suggestion. I did that one. Yep.
Yeah, that's mine, man. That guy is so interesting to me. And plus, it's not far. It's like maybe 40 minutes from where I live, where it all happened in Florence, South Carolina. I believe.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so it's not far at all. So, yeah, just that guy, just to be as small or short as he was, and just the things he did, and then killing the guy on death row.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. So. Yeah. With the Charles Manson, because I know you do a lot of with podcasts and stuff on Charles Manson and studying and all that. I guess what is one or maybe a couple things that you've learned that maybe, you know, growing up you thought you knew about the case, but you've learned that it was totally opposite?
Yeah, there's so much. With the Charles Manson case, I think that so many of us growing up have just been fed the Vincent Bugliosi helter-skelter narrative. And that's just the initial thing that people know because that's what we've been fed, when in reality, that's the furthest thing from the truth. So with that being said, there's so many avenues and theories to go down. I didn't know, you know, back when I was younger, learning about the case, how involved the drug theory was. And that was really fascinating to learn, because I didn't, you know, not to victim blame, because I would never, ever do that. The victims in the case, you know, were very involved in drug-related activity. And that, you know, based on research, that seemed to play a huge part in the murders. And I think that is not well known, because a lot, you know, no one wants to victim blame every, you know, people put the victims in a, you know, positive light. Right. And there was a lot going on behind the scenes, and I don't think people realize that. And I didn't realize that.
Right. Yeah, I didn't either. And I think really it was, I guess, Nicholas Schreck, his book, is what really kind of opened my eyes to it. And then I started looking in more to it, and I was like, holy snap, this is not what I've read, you know, especially within Helter Skelter and all, you know, the mess that's in that book.
Right.
it's crazy, man. And it's really, it's just like something just as common as a bad drug deal that went down, and mm-hmm. people at the wrong place, the wrong time, like Sharon Tate, just, yep. man. So yep, within the true crime community, and I know you know, this is, you get a lot of, I don't want to say crazy, but I'm going to say crazy people. You have to deal with, I mean, have you had to deal with like crazy messages or nut jobs that come at you? I guess I could say.
Only in the days that end with a Y. So yes, pretty much all the time. I get, yeah, it's interesting. And I knew that going into it, because I'd been on the podcast and been a co-host on that. So I saw a little bit, and when I spoke to other YouTubers who I was friends with and was like, oh, I'm starting my own channel, they all warned me and said, you're a female and you're talking true crime, just be ready. And I have thick skin, so I don't lose any sleep over it. But yeah, I get hate messages, there'll be hate videos, the rumors of, I heard this about Danny, and this, you know, it's wild. Some of the stories I hear are like, I have to laugh because they're so wild. And it's funny because none of them attack my content. None of them. It's always about, you know, as a woman, your looks, your weight, your, you know, you're glorifying, really? It's clear you want to be with Ted Bundy. It's clear it's like, what are you talking about? Are you watching what I'm doing? Like, it's wild. So, right. Yeah. Yeah. All the time.
Right. Well, Danny, if you could recommend, I guess, I want to say three. I wanted to ask you for the audience. If you can recommend three, I guess, books on any case, any serial killer, what would those three be?
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. And that's,
I know that's probably a hard question.
But. No, not at all. I mean, I have a lot. I have a huge collection of true crime books. So the number one book I would recommend is by Jamie Gehring. She Madman in the Woods. So she grew up next to Ted Kaczynski as a child, and she recently put out her book. I know Ted had just recently passed away, but she put this book out just before. And it gives such a good insight into growing up next to Ted. And as the years evolved and he descended more into madness and, you know, more horrific acts against the public with his bombings, it's just so interesting. And then looking back as an adult, like seeing the signs that were missed or innocent things that turned out to be deathly. It's fascinating. Her book is actually right now my favorite true crime book. I can't recommend it enough. The second book I would recommend is by Kerry Rawson. She is the daughter of Dennis Rader, the BTK serial killer, and her book is called Serial Killer's Daughter. It's her journey and her truth going through the case and waking up one day and the FBI knocking at her door saying, "We've arrested the BTK killer and it's your father." She lived what she thought was the perfect family life, and then looking back, realized everything was a lie. And it's very, very interesting. It's so sad as well. But I can't recommend that enough. And then the third book would be Phantom Prince by, Elizabeth Kendall. She was Ted Bundy's girlfriend. And the recent edition of it has a part at the end from Molly Kendall, her daughter, who grew up essentially with Ted Bundy around because that was her mother's boyfriend. So it gives a really good insight into Elizabeth's relationship with Ted and Molly's relationship with Ted. And I think I really gravitate towards those three and recommending them to everybody because they give such an inside perspective and they humanize each of them. And I know people probably say that and think, you know, that's horrible, but it's so necessary because people just don't wake up and do these acts. Monsters just don't go from A to Z. There's all these things in between and how they're able to go through society and blend in until they're not is fascinating to me. And all three of those books give those insights. So I can't recommend them enough to your listeners.
All right. Yeah. I'll definitely have to check the BTK one out. I've heard of it. I haven't checked it out yet, but I definitely want to. Yes. So. Well, Danny, what's next for Danny After Dark? You got anything special coming up?
What's next? I've changed the format of my channel, actually. So I'm just kind of adjusting to that. And it seems to be going really well. Meaning I used to do pre-recorded videos of the cases that I've done, make them like no more than 20 minutes. But then it seemed to be a real need and a real request for me to do live shows and make them more interactive. So now I've been doing that and I've gotten such a positive response from that because I can get to interact with everybody and they have comments and they have opinions on the case and my viewers get to make themselves heard and their opinions heard, which is really awesome. And then in the chat during the lives, it just creates a really good engagement within the viewers themselves and with myself. So that's been really great. So I'm really enjoying that new style that I'm doing. I do have some collaborations that I'm doing with other YouTubers in the works and then other friends of mine who are just interested in true crime and want to come on, which I'm all for. People want to talk about it. I'm all for it. And then I do have an author interview coming up. So I don't want to say who that is, but it's going to be a really well-known case. So yeah, people can stay tuned for that.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, what about some links and websites, Danny, where people can find out more about you or they want to contact you?
Yes. So my email address is thedannyafterdark@gmail.com. That's the best way to message me. I'm also on Instagram, Danny_after_dark. So that's where people can find me as well. That's probably the most common way people message me about either questions they have or requesting cases that they want me to cover. But that's, yeah, pretty much the only two ways to get in contact with me about the show.
Okay, cool. Well, Danny, man, thank you so much for taking the time out and coming on the show. It's been an honor to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up. And until next time, y'all know the deal. stay safe, and always stay demented.